Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 18 minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline is the man, the myth, the legend, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. Zach, man, it is so great to get you back on the program. Training camp was brutal as far as scheduling for you, my friend. But, man, anytime we can get with you, we're so thankful for it.
Oh, Brady, I'm pumped to be back. It's been too long, my friend.
It has been, no doubt. And there's always going to be crazy storylines to go over. It's going to be an exciting season. Cannot wait. Talk to us first, though, Zach. Obviously, a bump. Let's get the bad out of the way first with Jonas Griffith going down. Looks like he's out for at least the preseason. However, the Broncos did sign Joe Schobert, which we thought they might do a couple of weeks ago, and then just kind of were set with who they had. Talk to us a little bit about that move.
Yeah, the Broncos have been interested in not just Joe Schobert, but adding an inside linebacker since the beginning of training camp. They also worked out Quan Alexander and wanted to bring him in, but he decided to go with the Cowboys instead. If this past week indicates anything, I think he made a pretty big mistake with the Cowboys not looking too good in joint practice or in that preseason game. But the Broncos have been interested in the linebacker position, and now this really gave them, the Jonas Griffith injury gave them a prime reason to pick up a veteran, and a veteran is what they wanted. They wanted someone with experience, and when you look at Joe Schobert, he's bounced around the past couple of years after being a Pro Bowler in Cleveland, but Brady, he just produces and tackles people wherever he goes. Every single year since his rookie season, he's had over 100 tackles. That is pretty incredible. Now, he has struggled a little bit the past few seasons, specifically in the pass game, so I kind of view him as more of a Josie Jewell type of player, but look, Josie Jewell is getting paid $5.5 million this year. He's your starter, so Joe Schobert's really going to push Jonas Griffith for that starting job when Jonas Griffith is back. He may be back week one, or it may take a couple of weeks into the season.
And that's rough news for him, obviously. What does that mean? I mean, I used to hear coaches back in the day say, you know, we really don't like it when guys lose their job to injury. So if they're a starter before they go down, likely they're going to be the starter when they come back. That's a different philosophy. Some coaches don't have it. Is there a realistic opportunity here for Schobert not only just to make sure he stays on this team, but to perhaps overtake a starting job?
Yeah, there really is, Brady. And look, I love what Jonas Griffith brings to the table. He's an athletic freak, and everything I've seen in training camp shows me that the mental side of the game is there as well. But the Broncos, like I said, have been interested a little too much in inside linebackers to make me think that they are 100% comfortable and confident in their starting linebacking core right now. And again, they're not moving Josie Jewell. So it's Jonas Griffith, and he has not been an established starter in this league where he can't lose his job to injury. So unfortunately for Jonas, I do think if Joe Schobert comes in and shows that he's the veteran guy that can get 100 tackles, that he could overtake that job. Now, I do still think, especially with the inside linebacker position, that Jonas Griffith is going to see the field a decent amount this year because he is just he's shown too much promise. But I just wonder if the coaches don't fully trust him yet, where they'll have that trust there with Joe Schobert.
We're talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. We'll see what happens there. Certainly no shortage of storylines surrounding this team. Let's add that one to the mix now to follow. Let's stay on the linebacking side of things. Baron Browning, I thought, was sensational over the weekend. And, you know, there's another guy to continue to push Bradley Chubb. The Broncos bringing in Nick Benito. We'll see what Malik Reed does. I mean, again, there is a lot of, I feel like, a lot of depth suddenly on this edge rushing side of things for the Broncos. So unfortunate inside linebacker deal with Jonas Griffith. We'll see what Schobert does. However, I think we walk away going, they're pretty deep on the edge. If Bradley Chubb doesn't re-earn his name or a new contract, you might feel pretty good about some of these guys.
Yeah, you do. But you feel fantastic about the depth. Now, it's the top line starters who have so much potential with Randy Gregory coming off the PUP today, with Bradley Chubb being a top five pick and having a 12-sack season his rookie year. You like the talent there, but there's no question that you can question what's happened the past couple of years with these guys. And so You love the depth there, but you don't only need, or you really need these guys to come up, specifically the first two guys, the starters. You need Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb to produce, but you do love the depth. In fact, you may end up having to cut a guy like Jonathan Cooper, who was really impressive for the Broncos last year, but he's not been able to do anything this offseason because of the depth at outside linebacker. You may look to trade a guy like Malik Reed. You're talking about the Broncos rolling six deep, legitimately six deep, at a position where most teams only keep four. So the Broncos are going to have a good problem on their hands. How are they going to manage this, especially with Randy Gregory coming back?
Yeah, I'll be curious on that one, too. Like I said, there's a lot of things to keep our eyes peeled for. Whether Russell Wilson plays a preseason game or not, Zach, we're going to have a lot of things to pay attention to. I want to talk about the offense in a few moments, but a lot has been said, particularly in your neck of the woods in Denver, about Nathaniel Hackett, maybe training camp a little soft there, not pushing the guys as much, not as much hitting. How would that transition into the preseason? Well, the practice, the Broncos were roughing up the Cowboys. Bradley Chubb was kind of leading that brigade. And then Saturday, it looked like the Broncos were ready to go. Defensively, they looked sharp. Offensively, certainly had their moments. They get down and get 17 points. But so far, we can kind of say, all right, the Nathaniel Hackett thing, there's no cause for concern on how he's running his practices.
Yeah, exactly. So far, so good. Keeping the guys fresh. And I'll tell you what, Brady, the guys have really responded positively to this because they understand that Nathaniel Hackett's doing them a favor by keeping them fresh throughout training camp, fresh throughout the preseason. But they know that they have to earn that from him and show him that it's paying off. And so I really like what's going on. And so Nathaniel Hackett's clearly a player's coach. He admitted he wants to be friends with the players, but what has to happen when you're a player's coach is you also have to have the players' respect. And so far, everything I've heard is that the guys do respect him. And when they mess up, Nathaniel Hackett's not afraid to be very blunt and bold with every single player on the roster. And that is the key to being a player's coach. Do the players also respect you, not just when things are going right and you're giving them everything they want, but do they listen to you and respect you when things go wrong? And we
I think we might have lost. Let's see if we can reconnect with Zach. I think we just got a few more minutes with him. Let's see if he's still there. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And I'm going to bring this up with Zach if we still have him. Part of being a player's coach is you're going to be held to a different standard as far as, okay, when things are going south, how do you respond? And to kind of what Zach was speaking on, Zach, we got you back. Hearing Nathaniel Hackett talk specifically about the run game, he was not happy, and you could really hear it. And I think I was pleasantly surprised to hear him basically say, man, that was horrendous. We have to be better than that. We have to evaluate everybody in that position. So I think what you're saying is, hey, can you be a player's coach but also be critical and tough when the time calls for it?
100%. And Brady, Nathaniel Hackett's a very positive, upbeat guy. But after the game, when he got his first, I know it's a preseason, but got his first win in the NFL and really dominated from start to finish, his backups played really well, he was upset at the podium. And that was his biggest takeaway, was the run game needs to be a lot better. And I completely agree with him. But he could have come out and been so positive and happy, but no, he chose to be more serious and confront the negatives first.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting study to see how he'll respond each and every week. Zach, I know you got to go quickly here. One quick shot for you. The quarterback situation, Josh Johnson, Brett Rippon, are they going to be creating a quarterback controversy against Russell Wilson? Should we be worried?
Well, you don't have to worry about Brett Rippon, but I don't know. Josh Johnson in that second quarter was pretty lights out. Brady finished 13 of 14, two touchdowns, and in one quarter put up 17 points. That's on pace for almost 70 points in a game. Russ may be shaking a little bit.
Okay. Is Russell going to play at all in this preseason?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Nathaniel Hackett made it very clear. The number one priority is getting guys to the regular season healthy, and that starts with Russell Wilson. So I wouldn't expect it. If it's going to happen, it'll be one or two series this week.
All right, my man, Zach. We'll let you go. Get back out to doing what you do best, and that's cover those Denver Broncos. And we'll reach out. Maybe we could try to catch up with you at the end of the week, kind of bookend the whole show with Zach Stevens. That's kind of the way we like to roll around here.
That sounds great. Thanks so much for having me on, Brady. Great to talk to you again.
All right, my man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Do not expect Russell Wilson to play in this preseason for the Broncos. I thought maybe on Thursday, Russell goes a series or two. Then you start hearing Aaron Rodgers talk about how much of a waste it is. And then you Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers have the connection. And you start going, okay, he thinks it's a waste. Clearly, Nathaniel Hackett's probably a part of that. I wasn't holding my breath. I shot our boy Zach a text on Friday morning because we were getting ready to do a poll question. And he said, we haven't heard officially, but I would not hold your breath. I wouldn't expect Russell to go. So that was the game I thought we would see Russell Wilson. Now that we haven't, I mean, there's only one other shot, and that's against Buffalo. Do you need to see him? You know what you have, but you also don't know what you have as him as a Denver Bronco. So is there a part of you that, Angel, you'd like to see Russell Wilson at least in a couple of series with this makeshift offensive line that they have?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd like to see him get out there just to see, you know, snapping issues, if that's a thing. You know, how does the line look? How does it communicate with Russell in the center? But I think, for me, the thing that I noticed is, like, the Zach Wilson thing is kind of making everyone a little more cautious.
Yeah, no question. It's exactly why you don't take the preseason too seriously, because now the Jets are scrambling. I mean, is it going to be Joe Flacco? Is it going to be Jimmy G, whose name keeps popping up with teams that are looking for a guy? So you look at Zach Wilson, and that's a scary situation. You really wanted to see his growth from last season to this season, and now he's off to a pretty terrible start, and you don't know how long he's going to be out. So it's, you can see why they don't do it. So Brian and Tanner on Good Morning NoCo, you know those guys fairly well. They were saying, hey, do we even need a preseason? And you can't blame the guys for making that a poll question today. Is the preseason becoming, because they don't do it in college football. I mean, you're an Alabama guy. How many preseason games? I mean, they're called regular season games, but Alabama has like three preseason games, tune-up games.
It's
do you
usually
need it?
Just a fall camp and maybe a couple scrimmages with your team.
Yeah.
But nothing to the extent of what the NFL does. And I suggested maybe do just two games, but put like a bye week in between.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have players that get hurt,
that's interesting.
You go sign a free agent, they have a week or two to get ready to try to fight for a roster spot.
Just do one game where you see starters a little bit. Maybe a quarter. Maybe that's it.
Sure.
And then you have the final game, which has always been, whether it's four games, three games, whatever, the final game has always been the auditioning tape for players to make. Because think about, okay, you go into the season with 53 guys. You have to cut it down to 53 guys. I think they have to get it down to like 80-something today. Is that right?
85 today.
85. How many of those players, before camp even starts, do you think they know of their 53? Do you think it's fair to say that they know like 45 of their guys?
I'd say that's fair.
So
your first, second string on both sides of the ball, your special teams unit, probably close.
So 85 to 90%. So you're really taking, what, a month of training camp, 3 weeks of preseason to whittle down who's going to be the last remaining 5 to 10 guys on the roster. Seems excessive, doesn't it? I mean, I don't want to do away with preseason. But then again, if they said they weren't going to come out with it next year, I don't know that I'm freaking out, because in COVID, they didn't do preseason, right? Or did they do one game?
Dude, that was such a blur.
I don't even know. We were in the bubble.
There was nobody in the stands.
Nothing mattered at that point. I don't remember.
Wide receiver was playing quarterback or something.
Yes, it was the weirdest season ever. So if your memory's a little, although that wide receiver playing quarterback did catch a touchdown pass in Kendall Hinton. That was kind of cool. You're so careful now because this is it. I mean, if Russell Wilson gets hurt, everything that we've done. Let's ride, the cliches, the build-up, the return to the playoffs, the new ownership, all that excitement surrounding Denver is gone. Because you're not going to go into the season against Seattle on Monday Night Football excited about Josh Johnson. I mean, it's basically Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater and all over again at this stage. So it would be critical. And again, if Russell gets hurt in the Seattle game, at least you go, all right, at least the game meant something, though. You don't want to lose a guy when it means Nothing. Those are the worst kind of injuries. 33 minutes after the hour, would you be upset if you don't see Russell Wilson at all in this preseason? Eastside Chris says, life is good, day off, and on gel. I love that. On gel.
How do you spell that?
O-N-J-E-L-L. I love that.
That's a first.
He's just spelling it exactly how some Michael calls you. Do you like on gel? I gave you Angel. I know that wasn't extremely creative, but I'm trying to come up with 45 different nicknames for you as some course of the show. That's a good one, and that's Michael. He came up with that for you.
Yeah, I will take whatever kind of nickname.
Angel.
Apparently Tanner calls me Sprinkles for some reason. I don't know why, but...
When did that start?
A couple weeks ago.
Really? I haven't heard that one yet. I mean, I hear him talk to you all the time. I just missed that one. Angel, I really like.
It's a good combination.
So that might be one. He says, Angel has returned from the dark side. I love Angel because we have a lot of great, we have a lot of things in common, too. We watch a lot of the same stuff. We're kind of nerdy with that, with Stranger Things and The Witcher and Lord of the Rings stuff and all of that. But we always dial it right back into the sports side of it. So, dude, we're so happy to have you back on the show, ready to rock and roll, even though you're up way earlier now. But it's got to be, it's good, man. You get tackled the day in the morning.
Oh, I love it. It's. I thank you for letting me come back. I've missed being here. Obviously, talking about sports, don't get to do it as much with the morning show, but with Brian and Tanner in the morning and then Brady in the afternoon, I couldn't ask for a better position right now.
I love it, man. You're doing a fantastic job. He said, Chris says, preseason is for player evaluation, not team evaluation. Detroit went 4-0, then went 0-16. It doesn't, we always say it doesn't mean anything, but we also like having it on, too.
Aren't the Ravens like 21-0 in the preseason?
Yeah, man. Well, they're probably going to go 17-0 this year with Lamar Jackson, get that contract taken care of. Most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment. 35 minutes after the hour. All right, Angel, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.